Here for a pre-hearing conference to address scheduling and procedural matters for the Livable Affinity file number MUP17004V. I am Ryan Vansell, the Deputy Hearing Examiner. I'll be presiding on this matter. If the party representatives could introduce themselves.
Jeffrey Mistis, representing Livable Affinity, and I have a representative of Livable Affinity sitting to my right.
Thank you.
I'm Patrick Downs with the Seattle City Attorney's Office for the City.
Jesse Klassen, is this on? With McCullough Hillary here for the applicant, here with
Katie Hindle for the applicant.
Michael Dorsey for the department.
David Graves for the department.
Great. And these are not microphones so much for projection.
I'm like, yeah, that's odd.
We'll not hear a difference. Yes. As a preliminary matter, having recently left private practice, I want to make the following disclosures. For approximately 4 years, ending September 2016, I was a fellow board member of FutureWise with Mr. Eustace, representing the appellants. For approximately 3 years, ending in about February of 2016, I was a fellow board member, including co-president for a year of the Washington Mediation Association with Ms. Clausen's partner, Courtney Kaler, at the firm McCullough Hill Leary. And currently participate in the WSBA Environmental Law and very long name of the committee that we're on as ADR Section Land Use and Environmental Mediation Committee, which she chairs. I am not aware of any other connections I might have to the parties or the representatives, and I ask now if there are any objections to my presiding in the matter.
No objections from the city.
No objections from Ms. Clausen.
Thank you. I have several matters I would like to cover today and want to check with each party to see what you might want to cover in this conference. I know that it sounds like we're waiting for a director's interpretation, and that can certainly impact how we would schedule things since we need to consolidate hearings on those. Also want to touch on any pre-hearing motions that are contemplated at this time, discovery, witnesses, and exhibits. And, of course, that may be changing with the director's interpretation, so we'll do the best we can to get through that. Are there other items that need to be addressed today?
From the applicant side, I guess just a little bit of clarification on a couple of the issues.
Okay.
We can just talk about it. It's
certainly
not a big deal.
Okay. Mr. Eustace, anything else?
No, those items would seem to cover it.
All right. Let's start with the timing of the directors. I do want to ask if the party representatives have been in contact at all and if there's been any discussion on opportunities for settlement or discussion of the issues.
No, not the representatives. This application goes back 2 years, and my understanding is that there have been probably many direct contacts, communications between the principals of Livable Affinity, the members of Livable Affinity, and representatives of the applicant. But to the point of, resolution, mediation, settlement, which is, I guess, why we are here.
Okay. I always like to ask. It's an opportunity that you have before you get here, although I know that all the representatives are well aware of that. Going on then to the timing of the director to issue the interpretation. Do we have any sense of that at this time?
Yes, we would ask to have till approximately March 30th. I think we could issue it on that day, publish on that day.
Okay. And then I noticed that the appellants wanted at least 14 days from that date before we set a hearing date. Let's work through some of these other items and see what that does for us is getting into a hearing date. Does anyone know now whether they're contemplating pre-hearing motions?
The applicant's contemplating a limited pre-hearing motion regarding the vesting issue, so anticipating a motion to dismiss or a motion for summary judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And the city also agrees that that's can be disposed of as a matter of law.
Mm-hmm.
Should be.
Okay.
And I guess this is Ms. Clausen for the applicant. We think that should and can come before the interpretation.
Okay.
So we would say, I think I didn't check with you, but.
I agree. I think there's sufficient law out there to address this.
Yeah.
All right.
If I could ask about that, I gather that the vesting issue, as is inherent in any vesting issue, would deal with which law would apply.
Of course.
Okay. And the question of which law would apply is raised in the interpretation. So my question is, if the interpretation request is made, then what is the scope of your motion on vesting prior to the issuance of the interpretation?
Mr. Eustace, it's my opinion that the question of what this project vests to is dependent upon some simple facts in terms of when the application, when the first EDG meeting occurred. Those kind of basic facts can be addressed in a declaration, and then beyond that, we're going to go look at the law and apply it and reach the conclusion as to what law this project vested to. I don't think it goes beyond that. Counsel?
We agree with that.
Agree. And I actually think you kind of raised the issue that we would address in your interpretation request, right? I mean, I think you said whether or not this vesting issue is an issue that can even be interpreted. You know, so we would, I think it's something that can be addressed via motion versus interpretation. Because if it isn't something that can be interpreted, then, right?
Okay. This explanation is very interesting. However, you know, without knowing anything more than what they have told me now, I would say that the applicant and the city attorney's office are putting the cart before the horse. There is an administrative remedy that we are compelled to pursue. Mr. Graves has counsel with the city attorney's office. And the questions of which law applies, inherent in vesting, should be addressed in the interpretation, and then there is an appeal of the interpretation, and then it would come before the examiner, whose authority is appellate. It puts the cart before the horse to ask the examiner to prejudge the question of which law applies, which is inherent in the interpretation. The city and the applicant can file the motions that they want, but from their description, I think they have the process backwards. And again, I will read what they have to say, but I think that their motion would be correctly placed before the examiner. But and I only offer that not for the examiner to resolve it now, but to factor into the scheduling for this matter. Anyway,
understood.
For what it's worth.
No, I understood the point made. Our interpretation process is unique and does present some problems in that area of trying to resolve things legally before an interpretation has even been issued. I'm not going to rule on that today. For scheduling purposes, if the city and the applicant believe it's timely to do that, you can submit that. We should talk about when to do that, and then the issues that Mr. Eustace has raised would be appropriate in response to that motion. And that could include that it's not timely as far as in relationship to the interpretation that's anticipated. Timing on when you expect to issue.
Today's date is the 22nd.
Yes.
We can anticipate, and we haven't checked the city, so we can probably file a motion in 2 weeks.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that would give us sometime mid March, the 17th, the 10th or the 17th. I guess that's about 2 weeks out.
If we could do it the 17th, that would actually be preferred. I'm going to be out of town on the 10th.
Now we run into our first scheduling issue for a response. Is that before or after the interpretation comes out on the 30th?
The response?
your response to the motion.
I would.
How much time do you need for that? And it's beginning to overlap the time when the interpretation would come out on the 30th.
Okay. Not to repeat my, I think this underscores the difficulty of essentially presenting the issues before two branches of the city. Let's see. With respect to a response, I guess I would like Tilda. I would like a week after the interpretation is rendered,
and
which would be April 6th.
April 6th. All right.
And there are other factors at play here.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
I have long-standing plans to be out of the country. The weeks of April 10 and 17. I am also going to be out of the country May 4 through May 15.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
My response would be presented before I depart in April.
Very good. How, and for timing on a reply for the applicant in the city?
We can do a week. 13.
A week would be great. We can just round it down to the 14th.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Any other pre-hearing motions anticipated at this time besides the one that we've discussed? All right. Any discovery anticipated?
We do have some requests.
And I guess for scheduling purpose, the crux of what I need to know is there going to be any need for this office to participate? Generally, we leave it to the parties to engage in pre-hearing discovery. Make the requests of each other, and then if there's a need for the hearing examiner to be involved, that can be made by motion. I asked today for that reason, and then also because if I know that there's a bunch of discovery going on, then we need time to accommodate that. So,
okay. Since these requests are short, if there's a need to issue a subpoena, then I would do it by motion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is of the applicant, since the applicant is here. The request is for the CAD drawings of the view compliance diagram dated October 5, 2016, which I believe is the most up-to-date view compliance diagram.
Okay.
Okay. And then of for the traffic update, this is the Gibson Traffic Consultants report of October 28, 2016. On page 3, there's reference to, documentation from the Department of King County Department of Transportation of a passenger boarding report for the fall of 2015.
Okay.
And the data deals with passenger counting counter system, apparently run by Metro. And it's unclear to us which report Gibson was relying upon, because its spreadsheet in the appendix at page 56 was from the spring of 2013, but its report speaks of the 2015 printout. So what we're looking for is the data.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So some document exchange, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right.
See no problem with providing those to the extent that they are available.
It doesn't sound like it'll impact our schedule at all either.
Do you want to send in a formal request?
Yes.
Or an email or?
Yes. And I would also point out that Livable Finney has prepared a public records request to the city dealing with a number of records relating to the analysis and decision. And the city has indicated that it would not have a response before March 15, 2017. At least... I would almost have to say it has been practically the rule rather than the exception that the city departments have slipped on meeting those deadlines. So obviously we would need those documents.
Okay. What about witnesses? How many witnesses does the appellant anticipate at this time?
Oh. For itself, on the order of 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the applicant?
I think it would be approximately 4.
Okay. And the city?
And I think the city's witnesses are going to overlap with the
exactly.
applicant,
mm-hmm.
so 4 or 5.
Okay.
Like
that. But that's the... same 4 or 5, roughly, maybe an additional one or something along those lines. Okay. With the appellant, a sense of volume of exhibits that would be introduced at the hearing.
You're asking me to think on my feet or on my seat.
How thick do those files look before you get that PRA request?
So the documents page on the city's website shows a rather extended process with a great deal of documentation, and I haven't sorted out to what extent we would introduce those documents and then other documents.
Mm-hmm.
Other than giving you a whatever they call it, a swag, I really can't say.
Okay.
Number. I really, yeah.
Okay.
We generally anticipate, just in the normal course, it's probably about 20 to 30 documents.
Okay.
And many of them end up overlapping with the appellant's documents.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's all of everything that has been submitted as part of the process.
Okay.
And that's my range guess, too. Of course, they're going to overlap.
Yeah.
All right. And Mr. Eustace, they're down at the 20 or, the tens of exhibits. Do you think it's tens or hundreds or?
Tens.
This is purely for
tens.
Figuring out how many days of hearing we need. And no one's held to this at all, and no one ever follows it anyway, so.
There's no cap.
Right.
Open record.
Okay. So we have the motion is going to be completed by mid-April. We only had limited days available for the hearing in April. And Mr. Eustace is gone for some of those. So...
Yeah, may I ask, sorry to interrupt, but this is Ms. Klassen. Mr. Eustace, were you out all of the week of April 7th, so the 3rd through the 7th and then the 10th through the 14th? Is that when you're out, or are there... individual dates in April that you're...
No, my absence begins, it begins on Passover. What can I say? I'm around the week of April 3rd.
Okay.
Which is why I suggested the response date of April 6th.
Okay, so then you're available that date, and then the week of April 24th, you're back, or...
Yes.
Okay. And then you are available until May 4th, because you're going to be out again 4th through the 15th.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to get the range correct.
So, trying to set a date for hearing. It looks like we need at least 2 days.
Yeah.
Does anyone anticipate maybe a third would be necessary?
It's hard to say.
Better to set it now than later. And we've had a busy spring, so our schedule fills up pretty soon. We could do 2.5. We could split the difference if you think that's likely.
So, I believe there were seven major parts to the request for interpretation. With Mr. Graves, I held a, was it a two-day hearing?
No.
Three.
Half a day.
Half a day hearing?
Yeah.
Previously?
I think so, yeah.
On an extraordinarily straightforward, limited, simple issue.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was at least a full day. In any event, I can't anticipate what the city's interpretation is going to be, but given the number of issues, I mean, that alone can take a day, and then we have the SIPA issues. If you want to set it for 3 days, that's probably safer.
Yeah,
2 days
right,
for witnesses and a third day to argue.
And argument. I think you're right. The only three-day period we have available in April that matches where we're at right now with the motion schedule we have is the 17th, 19th, and 21st. Otherwise, we need to look into May.
Is there a two-day period available during the week of the 24th, or is that not possible?
No. Those were, we had the 3rd, 4th, and 7th, 17, 19, and 21 for April at this point.
All the settling we've been doing.
Not, still not working.
Calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I indicated, I will be out of the country the week of the 17th.
I'm sorry, I heard you say the 10th to the 17th, but...
The weeks of the 10th
and
the weeks of the 17th.
Okay. So that counts those dates out at any rate.
Yeah.
And we're looking at May.
Is there availability the first week of May, prior to Mr. Eustace leaving?
That would be May 1 through the 3rd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the schedule's almost entirely open in May and June right now.
You don't have to think about it on vacation.
How generous.
He probably will if he does it the day before. But so if we did 3 days before May 1, 2, and 3, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes.
The city agrees.
The applicant is great with that.
Okay.
Yes.
That would work.
Okay.
May 1, 2, and 3.
All right. Working back from that, then... For exhibit and witness lists to be due, are you, since this has been going on for 2 years and there's a lot of overlap and you kind of have an idea who's going to be here, do you need staggered witness lists, or can we do that simply, say, 7 to 10 days before the hearing, that everyone submits their witness lists and exchange exhibits?
That's fine with the city.
I actually always do prefer staggered, and you know, because we have so much time now before the hearing,
mm-hmm.
It just means there's just more dates on the calendar, but that is what I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Hey, given that there are a number of, I guess, unknowables at this point, unknown what the scope of the city's motion is going to be,
mm-hmm.
unknown what the effect of the city's, I say city, because I gather the city and the applicant are working together on this, unknown as to the effect of that motion upon the interpretation, unknown what the interpretation is going to be, it's very difficult to list witnesses without knowing whether we need to challenge the interpretation, what questions apparently the city believes the examiner will determine de novo without regard to the interpretation.
One difficulty I'm running into, too, is if we do this on May 1st, say if we're typically doing a staggered, it is typically I like to, and we can do other dates, but with the exhibit and witness list and exchange of exhibits 7 days in advance for the final one to be done is usually what I look to. So if we're staggering, then you'd go 7 days and before that.
I'll withdraw.
That puts us on the 17th, which you're not going to have a decision on the motion.
That's totally fine. I guess I would say about my attitude always with witness and exhibit lists is that
I'm happy to accommodate it, but
yes,
we would have to change the hearing date.
Fine. I guess I always see them as over-inclusive, and maybe you'll see that with ours, and maybe that's not fair for the examiner's scheduling purposes, but I always say, okay, here's who everybody who we think mm-hmm. that we would call, every exhibit we think that we would submit, and then if we don't, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if mm-hmm. staggering causes a problem, then I'm fine.
That would allow us to simply schedule witness and exhibit lists to be due and exchange of exhibits to be due on the 21st of April 24th. Monday.
Okay,
the
21st. So to accommodate my absence, which
you're
was,
gone
which
until the 21st, so you
actually I return
or later.
I didn't know that the examiner was cutting into my Saturdays and Sundays as well, but I return on the 23rd. So the earliest that I could have it would be Monday the 24th, which is a week before the hearing.
And that's the date I was looking at.
Okay. And this would be the date for the listing of witnesses?
Let's do the 25th. You're going to be
25th.
Because you
yeah.
will be coming back to my decision mm-hmm. and having to prepare the exhibit and witness list based on that.
Right.
So that'll give you
a day.
Yeah. Not, it's not generous at all. The 25th. Let's go with that. I think with able representation that we've got on mm-hmm. with all the parties and again the lengthy time that everybody's been involved in this, that this is not as crucial to give full disclosure and a lot of time to that. So April 25th for the witness and exhibit list and exhibit exchange. We do not receive the exhibits here in our office, so you don't need to include us in that.
Great. And Mr. Downs and Mr. Eustace, how do you prefer your exhibits to be disclosed? Do you want a thumb drive? Do you want old school hard copies?
I'm fine with either.
Okay, or email
or Dropbox.
Either.
Dropbox.
You guys could either.
Electronic is fine.
Great.
Anything else the parties need to address today?
Just to also confirm with electronic, are you comfortable with electronic service? We can get that in the order as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the only other thing that I had was just some clarification on some of the
oh,
issues.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was really, if we go to page 2 of the appeal, I think in 2A in the SEPA issues raised, one of the issues raised is the project's impacts upon adjacent land uses and views. I see land use as a discrete area element of the environment under SEPA, and then views as an element of the environment under SEPA. I guess I want to clarify whether or not you're meaning public views or private views. So public views protected under SEPA under the policies or private views? I mean, if it's not a big deal.
Under SEPA, the city's regulations define where the public views are from.
Yeah.
And there are other design guidelines that define protected views. And so it would be the protected views as opposed to the views from the public places.
Okay, so I guess we're conflating design guidelines, which isn't SEPA, with SEPA a little bit. So as it relates to SEPA, though, that's why I asked, is because I didn't see any protected viewpoint listed, allegation that.
No, I'm not aware that there is a protected view corridor, such as I-5, such as various parks, et cetera.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was missing something here.
But then, just to be clear, under SEPA there are full disclosure requirements that overlay the design guidelines.
In the checklist, et cetera,
Well, beyond the checklist, within the scope of SEPA.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to be clear on that one. And that's really all I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything further?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.